Guys, we're trying something a little fun and new. We had such a good time during our VR episode interacting with our listeners and getting their best definitely dying stories that we want to ask you guys to share any stories you have with us. So if you have any stories about either thinking you were sick and being wildly wrong, or actually getting sick, or a wild injury story. Basically, if you have any stories you would tell at a party, if it was a party full of people who didn't mind a downer story, give us a call at our Definitely Dying hotline. The number is 323-388-3879. I'll repeat it. And that's 323-388-3879. And you can leave your story on a little Google Voice answering machine. Yeah. And maybe we'll feature it on the show.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun? Hello, I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad. And we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair. And
my knee hurts.
My armpit kind of hurts. Is that a rash? Out and I had Asian food and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant. I got a thing on the side of my ear.
I haven't cried in 3 years.
Hello and welcome back to Definitely Dying, our friends out there in the cyber world. Off to a good start. And Madeline, what's going on with you?
Oh, I just opened up a new life insurance policy.
Oh, yeah.
I've had a life insurance policy. So I feel like the funny thing about car insurance is that, at least in my experience, the times that I have I've updated my car insurance, they've always wanted to give me a variety of other types of insurance just to make the price be low.
Oh, yeah.
I got my first life insurance policy back in 2008 when I moved to LA and switched my car insurance to California car insurance. Mm-hmm. And I remember informing my parents, like, hey, if I die, you get $10,000. And they were like, okay. Because $10,000 is such, it's an interesting question, how much money would dampen the blow of losing a loved one? And I think probably the correct answer is no amount of money.
Definitely if it's your child.
I don't think there's any. Oh, like the people to whom a life insurance policy would go to, at least at our age, are either like your spouse or your parents. Mm-hmm. In which case, like, I think it would just be so depressing to get. Like, I think that money would be like almost impossible to even use, like, or it would feel so. I just, the idea of like how you receive that money always makes me sad.
Mine goes to me and I'm buried with it. Take it with me.
You can take it with you. I've had this small $10,000 life insurance policy for a long time because it overall brings my car insurance down.
Yeah.
And then recently, Ben just jumped onto my same insurance company because, like, we both get a deal because, you know, we're like married and I've been with them for a long time. And so, for like, they did the math again and both of us were like opened limited term life insurance policies for like $100,000 each because, like, that along with renter's insurance, along with car insurance, is somehow less than just car insurance. And
it's like a bundle.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Like, that's even how they call it, I think. Yeah. And so
you also get internet with that, right?
I wish they bundled things.
Just everything.
You get a fridge, internet, and like dental. Yeah.
And HBO Showtime for 3 months.
But so many, that's how they should do. That's the answer to healthcare.
Yeah.
Bundle it with cable or internet. And I think you wouldn't have to require people to have it. They would just want it.
Right. And then as you get older, it's just like you're sort of paying more for the health insurance than the internet. But early on, you're paying more for the internet than the health insurance.
Hello,
everybody's happy.
Time Warner, start offering health insurance.
What a perfect takeaway.
you know how Time Warner is notoriously horrible to their customers? Try making them be the conduit between you and your doctor.
Madeline is the founder of the Affordable Internet Act. Time
could,
Warner
you
care.
You know what? It could work.
It could work. I think it works. I would do it.
I would do it too.
I like a bundle.
I love a bundle. I really do love a bundle.
It's just like I don't even want fries sometimes, but the fact that it comes with the meal, that's a fast food bundle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always get a bento box when I go to my favorite sushi place because like I don't even it's too much. Like I don't want sushi and like a lump of rice and a couple dumplings, but I do want a bundle.
Yeah, definitely.
I so much want a bundle / deal.
Yeah.
This is like a little unrelated, but something I've been thinking about a lot. Like we're going to Vegas this weekend just on Saturday night to see a drag queen we really like from Drag Race. Mm-hmm. And I went on Priceline to get our hotel and I did like, you know, like one of those blind Priceline deals where it's like you say like 5-star hotel for $99. We just don't tell you what it is until you pay us. Yeah. So I did that because I love a deal, and it was the Trump Tower.
Oh,
and it was such an unhappy experience. It was like I didn't know what to do.
Yeah,
I was devastated. This deal backfired so hard, and Priceline is crazy strict about those like blind deals because, you know, because they like if they would let you get out of it, then like it defeats the purpose. But I was able to get out of it.
Oh, nice!
I was like, I made several phone calls. I was like, either gonna. There was just no way it would be like a fun weekend to stay in the Trump Tower. I was like already doing the math of like I would be really embarrassed to tell like a cab driver that's where we were going because it would seem like hateful to be like drive us to the Trump Tower.
Yeah.
But anyway, long story short, I spent enough time on the phone with customer service, and at a certain point, I had to call Priceline, and then I had to call Trump Tower, then I had to call Priceline again. But the people at Trump Tower helped me. So, like I didn't even get my full sentence out, and they were like, it's okay, we'll refund you, which made me think this has got to be happening to them day in and day out.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Sure. But that is simply a bundle-related tangent.
Yeah.
But the weirdest thing about opening this life insurance policy was that both Ben and I had to answer this like long telephone survey that, as far as I could tell, was the purpose of it was just simply to determine how likely we are to die. Like it was like a bunch of like the questions were like about like how many drink, like do you drink, when you drink, how many drinks do you have, and like, and then as granular as like when is the last time you had 6 or more drinks at a time, and then like other questions like has your weight like have you either like gained or lost a large amount of weight in the, like, or an unusual amount of weight in the past 4 months? It was just interesting to hear the things that you would. It was basically like a step by step list of like stuff that if you noticed it about yourself could possibly mean you're more prone to dying than than you were otherwise. It's very weird.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose that, that's exactly what they want to know.
I wondered if I had been like, yeah, I do illegal drugs. Last time I drank more than 6 drinks was yesterday and the day before by myself. Like, I wonder whether they would have been like, we can't insure. Like, I wonder how I would have, what you would have had to do to kind of throw that questionnaire.
My guess would be it's twofold. One, that like they're asking you those questions, but they're going to give you the life insurance no matter what. But if you answer honestly to those questions, then your premiums go way up, right? So that's that you got to pay. You got to pay. Your bill's high. But if you die of alcohol poisoning and you said no, they don't have to pay the $100,000. So they're protecting them. They're trying to come up with as many scenarios in which you can die and they owe you nothing as possible, or to get as much money as possible from somebody that they know is going to die. In the same way that's like it's basically like a pre-existing condition. Like your alcoholism is congenital, a family history of congenital heart failure or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's what congenital means.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's such a, it's like the most morbid gambling mm-hmm. you could possibly do. They're basically like getting enough information to be like, how much can we bet
yeah.
that we'll be making money off you?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, because you're not, because also it's a limited term life insurance plan. So it's only,
oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't, it's like, we're not doing it at all because we want the insurance.
Sure.
We're doing it just for the bundle.
Yeah, the bundle.
But so the whole thing is also, it's only insurance if one of us dies in the next 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
And so all of the like logistics were so sad. Like mm-hmm. Ben at one point, like because we had to like, it goes to each other if one of us dies. And if both of us dies, all the money goes to our parents.
Oh, fuck.
Or goes to our parents, but you.
Yeah. what a weird, both of your parents are me.
Yeah.
that's fair.
It was such a, like, and I remember we were just like trying to figure out like which of our parents to put on the policy. And at a certain point I was like, if both of us die at the same time in the next 10 years, our parents are not going to be splitting hairs over who gets like the $200,000 of death money for their like, for their 30 something children who have both simultaneously died.
So they would get 200,000. It's not, it's 100 for each of you. It's not just 100 grand.
No. So, you know,
it's pretty good money.
Yeah. It's enough to like remodel your bath.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Like, or remodel your kitchen maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why you can get a new kitchen after. Well,
should we start
the show? Yeah, let's start the show.
Great. Guys, we have a really wonderful guest today. She's, I mean, first and foremost, a lovely person. You can see her performing improv as part of the great team JV. They perform every Friday at 11 o'clock at UCB, or you can see her as a part of her all-female improv supergroup, Wild Horses. They perform monthly at UCB or another monthly show, This Show Is Not Funny, which is great. They do very grounded improv that is sometimes funny, but good acting, first and foremost. And you've seen her all over TV and in movies. You've seen her in Blunt Talk, in Veep. Yeah, I could say this forever. Hello, Mary Holland.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us.
What a pleasure. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
We like to start the podcast sort of with the same question.
Okay.
Just to really jump into it. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
Ooh, I would say 10 being a lot.
Yeah, 10 being a lot, 1 being, what is that?
Yeah. I would say probably a 6, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does 6 mean to you?
6 would mean...
So more than average, you would say, but only slightly more than average?
Yeah. But I don't think of it, I think of it. I'm gonna die someday. I don't have that thought a lot, but I do have a thought of how easy it would be to die. I think about that a lot.
Like how many opportunities there are each day.
Yeah.
For life to be taken.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, so I do think about that. And I think about death, I guess, abstractly as like a, you know. But what really happens?
Right.
So, do you think?
Do you know?
You have any ideas
about
what
happens? Happens?
Yeah.
Can you tell us what happens?
Here's the thing. I know. No, I don't. I feel like my sense, or I guess the hopeful part of me is clinging to this concept that, you know, I am energy, and what I am, there's energy, and once my physical form has expired, that energy will then go out and be a part of the universe in some way. I believe that, and then I also believe, I really want to, and I think I do believe in the idea of coming back as a different...
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like I'm going to be, like, aware again at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I will come back to life
right.
in some form.
Yeah. Right. But not like aware, like you'll be a sentient creature again, not that
yes.
you'll be like aware of Mary Holland.
No.
Who, like, you know,
you'll
I
be like,
to be,
I'm Mary Holland, I'm a mouse.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Hey,
I was on Blunt Talk.
Wait a minute.
And now
guys,
I'm a fox.
I was on Blunt Talk. Give me a cheese. yes. But I am really intrigued by this idea of past lives and
yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I've you know had some friends like go see a past life therapist and
yeah.
talk about who they were and like in there's a lot of the thinking in past life therapy is that your current relationships that you have right now
yeah.
are the way they are because of something from a past
yeah.
life. Like, you know, I'm in a relationship with the man I'm in a relationship with because in a past life, he saved my mother.
Whoa.
You know,
oh.
in the,
nice.
I don't, that's
right, right,
exactly,
right, yeah, yeah.
But it's
but
that
it's
literal.
Not.
It's like,
yeah.
yes.
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah,
so,
that, yeah.
In some cases, yeah. So,
and do you believe in this idea that like we're put on this earth to find each other, to find our, you know, not the soulmate seems like a sort of a generic term,
right.
but that like the people that we're meant to be connected to, like Madeline and Ben or whatever,
yeah.
or Madeline and Ben, or Madeline and another Ben, Madeline and Ben's in general.
Yeah.
Madeline and I had podcasts throughout all of our
yeah.
our previous past
oh,
lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is just you guys are completing the cycle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for
just
sure.
new episodes.
Yeah.
Each new life.
Yeah, we were just two like old timey people who like talked into a rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Old timey people.
How much do you think about dying, see? That was our old podcast.
Exactly.
So definitely dying see is
yeah,
what it was called.
Yeah. Dying,
it all comes full circle.
Yeah. So
soulmate thing?
Yeah, do you like how, yeah,
I
go on.
No, I feel like you are drawn to certain people and other people you're not drawn to. So there's something there. I don't know that I believe in like soulmates.
Right.
But I do believe in just an organic coming together of, you know,
right,
of people and personalities and
yeah.
souls.
Like, yeah.
Like sort of like it's not your job to find that the world is going to kind of connect you to the people that you're
yeah
meant to live your lives with.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
These are big thoughts.
They're
yeah,
big
they
thoughts.
Are.
Do you have any ideas? Do you have any like thoughts about your own past lives? Like, because I feel like sometimes, like, when you hear people talk about it enough, you, like, develop these sort of, like, layman's
yeah,
theories of,
yeah.
like, oh, or, like, the idea of being, like, an old soul or a young soul. Like, is that a thing you believe in? Or
I do,
yeah.
kind of. Well, it's tough because there's a part of me that really wants to believe
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And then part of me that's like, actually, it does make sense. And then the more practical part of my brain, which isn't exercised often and is pretty small. It's like, come, you know, let's
come, yeah.
scientifically, is
yeah.
this a, could this actually be a thing? And I guess there's no way to prove that it's not a thing.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, I guess it would be a faith-based thing for me. But I do have a sense of like, there are things that I have so much passion for that I'm like,
yeah.
I feel like this is ancient in me.
Oh.
Like there's some sort of feeling about like, this is not a great example, but I used to work at Medieval Times. That was like my first job.
Whoa.
Really?
I was a photography wench.
Oh my
and
God. I love Medieval
so
Times.
I love it there.
You love it too and you worked there?
I love it so much. I drove 100 miles round trip so I could
oh,
work
yeah.
there.
You're kidding. Did you work there because you needed a job or just because you love Medieval Times?
Both.
Both? Yeah.
Both.
So this was the one down in Orange County?
No,
oh,
this
okay.
was when I was in college in Illinois. So I worked at the one in Schaumburg,
oh, okay.
Illinois. But I had such a, like, just that whole atmosphere of Medieval Times.
Yeah.
Like, people walking, you know, and the horses and the knights in their outfits and and me and that, like, it just felt so like deep and old that
yeah, yeah.
That you felt
excitement
like I've
about it.
Like I've been here before?
Yeah.
Or like, yeah.
It's, I don't, because I, yeah, I love it so much. And there's a couple things, you know, passions I have that I'm like, this is coming from a place that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like what else? Any?
Let's see, right. What else? Like Lord of the Rings stuff, I'm really into.
Oh, so still that kind of medieval vibe. Yeah.
What if you died like six times in medieval times and just like kept coming back just a few years later? Because people were just kicking it pretty quickly there. You know, like you got like a little thing that's you just got like pneumonia six times in a row.
Oh my God, it's like playing the Oregon Trail over and over again.
Yeah, right. Dysentery.
Yeah. But I'm really, I really love like period pieces, like period dramas. I'm so into. So it does make sense that I would be like, oh, I do feel like I was alive, like,
yeah,
even in, you know, the Wild West or whatever.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. I can see you in the Wild West.
Oh, yeah. God bless you.
Like, so many people treat that sort of like impression as if it means that like they're not meant for these times, but it could just mean that like, I mean, I love the idea that it means that you have some connection to these, you know, these times that existed before this current life, that it's like a connection to your past, you know, or maybe all of our past. I don't know.
And also I would say like an argument to support that is, how else do you explain your talent for things or your love of things?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, comes from somewhere.
Just as simply as it would come from like, you know, your parents or your grandparents, it could come from, you know, previously existing generations. The same way that like they say that certain like emotional conditions we develop like from our parents, they experience things in
like
here and then they pass it down through
their vaginas.
Yeah.
Through their vaginas and their penises.
Yeah.
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 It's true.
Sometimes I feel like maybe in a past life I was like a criminal or something.
Why?
Because I feel so, I have such a profound like, you know, sense of guilt all the time. Or like I'm like so sure like, I did something bad thing is like my fault. And I don't think it like came from like, you know, my childhood or anything. Like nothing really bad happened that would like explain,
right,
you know, why I'm always like, oh, how is this my fault?
Right.
But maybe it's because in a past life, I did something horrible.
Right.
You were really guilty.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
See, I think of you as a criminal in a present life.
we don't talk about that.
Stealing hearts.
Yeah. No, look around this room at the end of the podcast. There will be nothing that isn't bolted down. Everything is going to be in Madeline's purse.
In her purse.
Yeah.
Are you much of a hypochondriac?
No. No. I would say... I would say no.
Fair enough.
Do you get sick a lot?
I get sick at least once a year. But hypochondriac, you think you're sick all the time, right?
Yes. Or like you like, you know, I feel like we sort of have a broad definition of it. It's like, you know, like for me, it's like I'll feel like an itch on my arm and then be sure something like bit me and, you know, and then I'll die. Yeah.
Right. You go to like a worst case scenario.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really have that. And I would, I do get sick once a year and I was really sick as a kid. I was I had like really, really severe asthma. I had to be hooked up to a machine every night and eventually outgrew it. It's just became a part of like, okay, every year I'll get sick and it'll be, that'll be what it is. But I don't really, if I feel something, I will resist like acknowledging that it's sickness or going to see anybody about it for so long.
Yeah. Sorry, you have something?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, I think it's worth pointing out that when Mary arrived, she promptly went to disinfectant wipes to wipe down her water and then turned an Arrowhead bottle of water into emergency. Yeah. So
right.
So you prepare, like you're somebody who's aware of your surroundings, right?
Yes.
Like, so, yeah. I don't think of that as hypochondria necessarily, but I think of it as like maybe the healthy predecessor to, like the one where you're like, no, I'm just going to do everything in my power to ensure that I don't get the germs. Because I got some germs right now, folks. I can't remember if we talked about it in the intro.
Folks, I got some germs.
I got germs and I'm passing around. But you did mention you had allergies. So is this stuff pertaining to allergies?
I got the emergency, because I felt a flare up of some sneezing and stuff this morning. And then with the wiping down the water bottle I got at Walgreens, it had an unknown substance smeared on the side of it that looked questionable. So I would say I really presented myself as someone who has it together, but I'm not actually. Those two things I've never done, really ever.
It's just like in the air. Here you got.
I just sort of picked up on the vibe.
So tell me about having asthma as a kid. Yeah. When did that first start to happen?
That was very early on, I would say. I was quite sick, and if you look at pictures of me as a toddler, my sister is rosy-cheeked and, you know, healthy-looking, and I am a shade of green.
Like, really?
A very pale shade of green. I was really sick. I think my mom said it was the worst when I was, like, 3 or 4.
Oh, man.
The medicine I was on would keep me up at night, so I would play at night, and my mom would have to, like, stay awake and, like, watch me play. I remember her telling me that story.
Oh, that's crazy.
It was at its worst when I was probably the least aware of myself as a person. When I was, like, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then when I started getting into elementary school, I would do that nebulizer treatment at night, and I would have to take inhalers and all of that. And then I feel like I outgrew it when I was maybe 13 or 14.
Wow.
I stopped needing it.
Did anything change, or it was just your body kind of changed?
My body just changed. I don't really know. Yeah. I mean, maybe I still have it, and I just have not been treating it.
I think you'd probably know if you had debilitating asthma. I mean, can you breathe?
Yeah, I can breathe.
Oh, good.
But there was actually a time, Madeline and I play on the same basketball team, and there was a time basketball is so hard.
It's just so hard.
Nonstop sprinting.
It's too hard, really.
It's
too hard.
Too hard. Yeah. And I really couldn't last out there very long, because I'm out of shape. But also, there was one game in particular I remember. I would also get so nervous before those games. Like, do I remember how to play? And what
really
do you do?
Did you play in high school? Or?
I did.
Oh, okay,
I played in middle school, I should say. I didn't. I played soccer mostly in high school. There was like a moment in one of those games where I was like, oh my God, I can't breathe. Oh my God, I can't breathe. And it's a feeling that's so foreign to me because I haven't experienced an asthma attack since I was a tiny, tiny kid. So,
sickly little baby. Do you feel like you're a generally like fearful or anxious person? Because I feel like a lot of the people who we have, like, who like have a lot of hypochondriac fears tend to like, it's all based in like some kind of, you know, anxiety or uncertainty. And
totally. I think I do. I think I've really grown into some anxieties.
Really?
As I've gotten older. Definitely. I would say they're mostly socially based.
Mm.
It hasn't really manifested in health concerns. But I do. I do. The older I get, though, the more aware I am of, like, oh, there's these, like, for example, on my legs, I've always had this one patch of psoriasis on my knee. Mm-hmm. And it's just been there my whole life. And it, like, itches in the winter and gets, like, you know, dry and all that. And, yeah, I've just been like, oh, it's this annoying thing. And then it started to spread over, like, I'm getting, like, these weird little patches on my whole legs and on my feet and stuff. And so I feel like I never really used to be, even with those health concerns with asthma and everything growing up, I still was, like, whatever about it. I didn't take it too seriously or get too worried about it. But now as I'm getting older, I'm like, this is the time to start taking things very seriously. Yeah. And those fears are, I can feel them starting to brew a bit more than they did in the past.
Because there's this, I feel like, it's like we're finally like at an age where you're like, oh, like I think about it with my teeth a lot where like I'll realize like these are my teeth forever now.
Yes.
Unless I make a lot of money, could buy new ones. Mm-hmm. But like these are going to be like like if I'm going to be like an old lady with nasty teeth, that starts now.
I know. Yeah. I know. Oh my God. Teeth stuff is so scary.
Teeth stuff is so scary.
I have receding gums because I clench my jaw, I guess.
Yeah.
And so like you can see like the roots of my teeth.
I have receding gums too.
You do?
Yeah.
I was told I would have to get a graft or something
at some point.
They
are
say
you?
Insane.
Do you have to do it?
No.
They say insane things, I feel like. I've been told that like I lost one of my, I don't even know what type of tooth it is, but one of the back guys, the one that would be next to the wisdom tooth.
Oh, okay.
Basically, I waited too long to get my wisdom teeth pulled out, and then it impacted the tooth next to it, and then eventually that tooth cracked. And so then they told me that if I didn't get a replacement tooth there, that the tooth above it would grow all the way down to the bottom of my mouth. It has not grown even a centimeter since they told me that.
Like a stalactite?
Yeah, exactly. That I would have, like, I would just have a stalactite growing down.
Who told you that?
My dentist, who's a great dentist.
Donna Lou told you that?
Yeah, Dr. Donna Lou told me that.
Do you guys go to the same dentist?
No.
We don't, but... Both the Bens go to the same dentist.
Madeline's need not apply.
Yeah. I go to a dentist called Personal Dental Office, and it is honestly like too impersonal. It's exactly like what you would think of a dentist office, just called Personal Dental Office.
I mean, it sounds personal.
They're doing a bunch of construction, but they haven't shut down the dentist office. So, like the past times I've gone to the dentist, I'll be like in the chair, and they'll be like, a bunch of plastic wrap or like, you know, tarps covering like plaster and things that they're like in the midst of building while their dentist office is open.
So weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
What's your dentist like? Do you have a dentist?
He's pretty cool. I do have a dentist, and I have been going after not going for 5 years. I finally got dental insurance. Yeah.
Oh, you got that? Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Round of applause.
Thank you. So exciting.
It's very exciting.
So the last year I've gone in for cleanings a bunch, which has, you know, given me great peace of mind.
Yeah.
But the dentist I went to before this one, I hated going there so much. It was on the other side of town. It was like way on the west side.
Yeah.
It took me forever to get there. But then also I had this experience with the hygienist. I think like when you're a hygienist, you've got a tough job. Mm-hmm. You got to get in that mouth.
You got to get in there. Yeah.
You got to scrape and you got to do all this stuff.
Yeah. You got to, yeah.
It's not a fun job.
No.
But the amount of guilt that was laid on me for like,
oh yeah,
you really need to be coming in more. You should be flossing your teeth. If you take that tone with me, you're guaranteeing I won't do it. Like you're just like, now you're making me feel bad. Now I don't want to come here
because
I know you're just going to guilt me and shame me.
Yeah.
So it's a fine line
because
you have to be able to be like, you do need to do this more, but
But like,
it's okay.
No big,
Madeline, maybe your guilt stems from a past life dentist.
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you were a hygienist in a past life.
Ooh, maybe. I respond very well to like people, to like that. Like,
you do?
Yeah, I do. It really kicks me into gear because I'm like, you're right, I'm bad.
I would fight that hygienist on the spot.
Would you really?
Fists up. Let's do this.
Yeah.
I can't. You can't talk to me that way. And when I'm in the strap to the dentist chair, this is already a place I didn't want to go.
I know.
And now you're giving me more reasons to never return. Yeah.
What are you?
I know. Right.
What
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be one thing if they got you on the horn after 5 years of not going and like, all right, look, if you don't start showing up to the dentist, ladies and gentlemen at home, I continue to hold up the finger phone in the air as I have this
it's
conversation.
Really,
it's helping.
Upsetting.
So everyone.
Upsetting.
Not like it was
how you actually hold a phone. Anyway,
yes. If they got you on the horn after 5 years of not going to the dentist, and they're like, if you don't start coming to the dentist, you're going to have problems. But for you to on your own show up at the dentist, you should be applauded, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
And maybe it is that I think I am the same way in that I do respond to being guilted or shamed with I'm bad, I'm terrible, I'm bad. And that will just, instead of it motivating me, though, it will be like, well, I'm awful, so there's nothing I can do.
Yeah,
so
like
I just won't even try to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This podcast happens to think that you're good, you're wonderful, you're good. So let us be your dentist from now on. I sort of fancy myself a lay dentist.
You really do.
I think I'm an expert of sorts. So do you have because of the grinding? Mm-hmm. Do you use the mouth guard, night guard?
Oh boy,
is this the whole thing?
Is this the whole thing?
I don't. I got it.
Is this the whole thing?
I got it a few years ago from that dentist, the hygienist.
Did you get a big one? Was it one of those big?
It wasn't big. Okay. It was just, I feel like it just went over my, just over my, top.
Yeah.
Top teeth.
Yeah, I don't think we're done with this is it big question, because I need to know about your, after we talk about this, I need to know about the big one that you have. How big can they get?
Oh, yeah, you have a big one?
Well, I have one that just goes over my teeth, because mine is also, it like doubles as a retainer.
Oh, right.
To like keep them in. But, well, so not to get too sidetracked, so I had those retainers, so my dentist said I should get a mouth guard, but it was like $400 to just like get a mouth guard
from my dentist. Yeah.
And I had one tooth that was kind of like poking out of place from like back from like, well, you know, when I was a kid, I never had braces, but I had truly like, I think 6 or 7 different retainers. Like they did it all just through a series of heavy duty retainers.
That's kind of nice.
It was kind of nice. It was great.
Yeah.
Heavy duty retainers.
they really were heavy duty. And a palate expander too. Like, did you ever have that? Geez. Like,
no, but I know what that is. Yeah.
That was terrible. But like, so I had a great orthodontist growing up. His name was Dr. Persily. He like ran, he's just like this like jolly orthodontist who like ran a practice with his wife who like worked at the front desk, and he fixed my teeth right up. And he is still in practice. He still truly looks exactly the same. He's like still got like blonde hair, and his wife looks the same. I mean, they're like very cosmetically kept up, but like, but great. God bless.
God bless.
And you do you.
I went to him, and he made me like, instead of just getting a $400 mouth guard, I was like, can you make me a retainer just to like keep this tooth in place? But I always, so he made me a retainer.
Okay.
And like, he has to like adjust it every now and then, but I always go in over Christmas because that's when I'm home, because he's back in New Jersey.
Right.
And he's always in a really big rush because everybody's trying to get in over Christmas, because all the kids who are home from college are trying to get their retainers fixed before they go back to college.
Right.
So he moves really quickly, and I might be crazy, but I think he like did my retainer too fast, because I feel like when I wear it a lot, it's making my two front teeth kind of too flat across, like a rabbit kind of. Like, I just think where there's, they're supposed to be slightly,
there's a curve.
I feel like if I'm diligent about wearing my retainer, just my two front teeth are just kind of like they're too
front
flush.
And center.
Yeah, yeah, they're like front and center, and they're like exactly aligned with each other. Are you good at habits generally? Like, I feel like there are so many things that like I should do every day, and I never will do. I will never floss.
No,
I will never.
Nope.
Yeah,
I even got one of those water floss things.
Oh yeah, water pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
No.
Nope. Don't use it.
No floss whatsoever.
No, well, sometimes if there's a piece of meat in my teeth, yeah.
I will do what I can to get it out.
It kind of freaks me out a little bit. Like the hygienist at this new dentist was showing me how to properly floss, and you like get up in the gum,
yeah,
and
it's creepy.
It's really creepy, and it freaks me out.
Yeah,
to do
it's like
it.
A little bit like a kind of like touching your eye or something.
Yeah,
it's like that same sort of like tingly. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I want it to bleed. Like, oh, I love it.
You're sick.
I'm a man.
Oh.
I want to get in there. No, sometimes I'll do it like 3 or 4 times just to get it raw. Like, I like that.
Oh. Wow. Yeah.
I like just enough pain. Just
that
enough of it.
Is,
maybe that's my guilt.
That's
like,
so
I have a need for.
Yes, you need some corporal punishment.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's bananas. I can't imagine wanting that.
No.
I do. I want it. I want it right now.
Yeah.
You guys take over.
All right. Well, I don't have any other. I'm definitely not in the habit of like working out, or I would say the only habit that has stuck is brushing my teeth.
Yeah.
And washing my face has become a habit.
But oh, yeah.
Everything else,
no.
Yeah.
Not a habit.
No, I'm so. I also hate brushing my teeth.
Yeah.
It's
I hate
so
it
boring.
Too. It's so boring.
It's so boring.
I feel the same way. Do you have an electric toothbrush?
I hate it. Yeah. And I never make it to 2 minutes.
Really?
No, I get bored. I stop. And I honestly generally only brush my teeth in the morning. I'll get on a good kick of brushing at night for like a couple weeks, and then I'll fall off and like,
right.
I'm a morning brusher.
I am an evening brusher. If I have a day where I don't have anything planned, I'm just staying at home. I'm like, you don't have to brush your teeth.
Oh,
then.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
only brush your teeth when you're going out in public.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
like my logic.
No, I brush my, but I should clarify, not to say that like, it's no part of my waking up routine. It's
right.
It's like, I brush my teeth the same way I'll like put on makeup.
Right.
If I have to leave the house, I'll brush my teeth.
Yeah.
Do you ever forget?
Yeah. Yes.
Me too.
I used to, when I was in high school, this is awful. I actually did it as a kid too, but there was a moment in high school when it really caught up to me. As a kid, this is so gross. I would brush my teeth and I would swallow. I didn't know to spit.
Yeah.
Mary!
Mary! And it tasted, I was like, yum, this tastes good.
It does
it's
taste
like a minty.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially kids' toothpaste tastes great.
Yeah. And then there was this one day in high school, I was running late. I went to boarding school my last years of high school. And so I'd woken up late and I was running late to my first class. So I just squirted toothpaste in my mouth, rubbed it around my teeth a little bit, and swallowed. And I got into class and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to throw up. It was like, don't swallow your toothpaste. It's not meant to be swallowed. If there's acid stuff in there, like just don't swallow. I felt so sick the whole day. And I was like, I can't believe I ever thought you were supposed to swallow this
stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody
but
told
I really,
you.
Nobody told me.
Hmm.
Or someone didn't. I ignored them.
Yeah. Somebody told you had to swallow. And that was.
I was like, got it.
Now I'm never doing that.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah, teeth stuff.
What about bad habits? Do you have
habits?
Are you prone to bad habits?
What's an example?
Like
what's a bad habit? No, I don't smoke.
I do. Biting your nails?
Yeah, biting your nails.
That's a bad habit.
Fighting.
Oh, fighting. I don't bite my nails, but I do have this nervous habit of pulling at my eyebrow.
Oh.
At my eyebrow hair.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'll sort of. I kind of like to try to tweeze them with my nails.
Yeah.
I do that with my beard. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's a bad habit. I feel it's a bad habit on the beard.
Yeah.
Does it happen when you're anxious? Or just all the time you kind of do it?
I would say mostly when I'm anxious. Yeah. Let's see. Mostly when I'm anxious. Then what else do I do? Oh, I also... Let's see. What's another bad habit That you, what's another example?
Biting your nails is one. Okay. Some of them are like sad, you know? So like I was, maybe my head was trying to avoid, you know, like
what?
Alcoholism.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Like addictive. Yeah. Just like a little bad habit.
Or even like, I have a bad habit of like I always am trying to break the habit of like looking at my phone right when I wake up. That's such a bad habit.
Yeah. I have that for sure. That's really hard to break. Yeah. I just got off Facebook last week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I was like,
how do you feel?
What
pushed you over the edge?
I was already not really on it, and every time I would get on it, I would get so overwhelmed with the catching up I had to do. I just felt so behind on everything. I never really participated in any bits, or I just felt very out of the loop.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, I'm just going to really just not do this anymore. And it feels great, but it doesn't really feel that different from what I was doing. I wasn't on it that much.
It's a freedom. Freedom from the book.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
I try to never look at it, but in terms of the looking at the phone one, I would consider... Because that was a bad problem for me first thing in the morning. I stopped charging my phone in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. I moved it to my office.
That's smart.
And I made sure that I had a clock in my eyeline for when I wake up, because that was when I was first looking at my phone to find out what time it was.
I was just sticking
to the phone. So I don't know. That's what I do.
My alarm's on my phone, and so it goes off. I turn it off.
Yeah.
Put my phone in my bed next to me under my pillow.
That's how I press snooze for
an hour, and then wake up and look at nothing.
Yeah.
Truly nothing. Just
works for me.
I don't have any social media on my phone, but I still have that impulse to look at things. So I just kind of press buttons.
I know.
And I look at I have so few apps that refresh with new information kind of deliberately. And so I always just look at my 5 Every Day app that has 5 new weird things to do in LA. Cause that's only thing. It's the only thing that fulfills that desire to kind of refresh and see a new thing, but it's not interesting or valuable information.
Yeah. No. And that impulse to absentmindedly open things and close things or refresh things. If I have 10 minutes or I'm waiting to go in somewhere or something, I'll open Instagram, I'll look through it, I'll get caught up, I'll close Instagram, I'll open Instagram again.
Yeah.
It's like, I just opened that. It's such a weird...
Yeah.
Yeah, your brain is...
Yeah, so... I took Instagram off my phone because it was it's just so built for that.
Oh my gosh,
I couldn't... It was making me feel a little wonky, looking at it so much.
Totally.
Yeah.
When's the last time you used your phone as a phone?
Never.
Never.
Would text messaging be folded in that? Just a phone call.
Yeah, just like a
on the way
calls.
Here, actually.
Okay.
Ooh. I had a phone call, but rare.
Yeah, yeah.
Very rare. And if someone calls me, if my family or close friends call me, I'm they're just calling me and no big deal. I'm not in the practice of having long phone conversations anymore, but that doesn't strike me as weird. But I recently had someone who was more of a friend, but more of an acquaintance who I hadn't talked to in a long time, who called me, and I was like, that is so rude. How dare you call me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the thing, I hadn't saved the number in my phone, so I thought it was maybe a work-related call, so I answered it was a number I didn't recognize, so I answered it, and this person, said who they were, and I was like, I felt so offended.
Yeah.
I was put on the spot, I wasn't ready for that conversation. I was put on the spot. I was asked a question about making a plan where you know, if you email someone to make a plan, then they're sort of able to process it.
Totally.
But in the moment, you're like, even if you maybe don't want to do it.
Yeah, or you can't. If you want me to say yes to something reflexively and immediately, whether or not I can do it, call me or ask me in person.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'll just be like, yes. Yeah.
I found it to be so
it's
offensive.
Yeah.
For some reason. And I was shocked by the passion, you know, my sort of outrage at it.
I feel, yeah.
It's just not the social norm
anymore. That person broke the contract.
But like also like, I'm sure because of that, we've lost our skill of saying like, oh, that sounds great. Let me just check my calendar and give you a call back.
And
like,
I'm working on that in therapy.
Yes.
It is hard to do that.
Yeah.
It is hard to,
I
don't know, to say.
Are you in therapy right now?
Yes.
How long have you been in therapy?
I have been going, I started going in May of last year,
then
my therapist went on maternity leave in November and then came back at the beginning of March. So I would say I was there for like 6 months and now have been back for about a month. Hmm.
Had you ever done that before? Was it
no,
a new thing in your life?
New.
How,
all
what's
new.
That experience
Great.
Been like?
It's been really good. It's, I do think everyone needs to go to therapy, even if you haven't experienced trauma. Like, I feel like people think of therapy sometimes. They're like, oh, I don't need that level of help.
Yeah.
But emotions are so complex and complicated. And your feelings about yourself are so complicated. And all these, like, patterns and behaviors that you that you don't even realize you've absorbed from how you were raised or even just a day in your childhood, something could have happened that locked something in with your how you think about something or how you approach things. So it's been very, very good to, you know, just come to more self-awareness through that.
Did you notice anything like that you would be comfortable sharing anything interesting where you're like, oh, this comes from that? Yeah.
Totally. I found that it really helped like in thinking of how I interact with like most recently, like thinking about my friendships and my you know, the people I'm close to, I don't generally reach out to people when I need support.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I don't even really, I don't think, recognize that I need support. I'm just like, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
However, I love it when my friends reach out to me and need support.
Sure.
So we talked about this, like, just in the last session. Like, what is that? Why do I, like... I am not at all thinking they're a burden or annoying or anything when they come to me and are like, I need you to be here with me for this or I need your help with this or whatever. I'm so overjoyed to get to be that for them. But I have never, like, I will never, if I'm in if something happens to me, except for maybe with Matt, my boyfriend who I've been with for a while, I feel like I would call him and be like, But with my friends, I don't like... have that impulse to be like, oh my God, this thing happened.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, really common.
Yeah. And I don't know. Yeah. I think that comes from experiences with friends as a kid. And like, you know, I'm sure you experienced this too as a little girl. There's like these things of like, she's my best friend now.
Yes,
and now she's not my best friend. And we're not friends anymore. Like a weird... It's like so weird when you're little.
I'm amazed how much that has stuck. Like that kind of stuff sticks to
you.
Like so much. Like I feel like we maybe have talked about this on the podcast before, but how much like even just like middle school friendship dynamics have there are just the echoes of that in the way that I like think of myself socially.
Oh my God,
now.
Me too.
It's so
Definitely.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's like part of me that I think will like never believe that like I'm cool because I wasn't cool when I wasn't cool at the time of life where the idea of being cool or not first emerges. Like
yes,
you know.
Yes, I know. I have that same feeling of like never quite being cooler with it as much as everyone else around me is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's those things really stick with you.
I fully believe that middle school / junior high should not exist. That like that you go through elementary school, you should go away for a few years because that's when people are transforming.
That's when you should go to
worst. You're so self-conscious of yourself. Like everyone has some experience from like a locker room in gym class where you're like watching other people's bodies develop and, you know, and regardless of whether you're on, you know, on the at the top of the curve or the bottom of the curve, we all feel weird about ourselves. We're really mean to each other when we're in junior high. I consider myself most of the time to be a very kind person. I was an asshole as a middle school kid.
Oh,
I think
just
about everyone was to some extent.
Yeah.
That like, but I would take them away. I would give middle school kids. I would give them apprentice jobs at all the worst positions in the world and just go off and work.
That's
just
a
go
great
off
idea.
And work, you know? And on top of that, like on top of the part where you're away from other people, you know, going through a similar thing to you, I think you learn work ethic, you know? Like I think that you go off and you do, you know, menial jobs that anyway, you get the point.
And go hang out with adults.
Yeah, exactly. Hang out with adults.
I feel like my saving, or not my saving grace, that's like too dramatic, but like a bright spot in my life was just doing community theater because it was like a mix of ages and like also like, you know, just hanging out with like, I mean, I was like the kind of kid who was always like a little more comfortable around like grown-ups than other kids. And that was like made that. That was like one of the only places that felt socially normal because it was like people who had at least had like, you know, decades to develop like basic social sensitivities.
And their perspective on things that to you feel so life or death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're like, well, whatever, you know, that, that can be really refreshing of having that perspective. Yeah. But then also like there are things that I was so upset about when I was 12 or 13 that my mom was like, this is nothing. You'll look back. Yeah. This is nothing. That did not help. Like hearing that.
Well, no, because it's like,
because
it makes you feel crazy because you're feeling something so big and being told that that's like not real.
That is the one, like the only thing I'm getting from therapy. No, one of the things I'm getting from therapy is really acknowledging how crucial it is to let children. Let kids, especially as they're getting these really intense emotions in their adolescence, is to let them be heard and let them know their feelings are totally valid and they're not to be dismissed because that is another thing that if a kid feels unheard or like or his feelings aren't valid, he's going to now adapt and start behaving in a way that's you know, self-destructive or destructive to other people, you know, so
there's
it's so important.
There's a big difference between this will pass and this is of no consequence.
Exactly.
That, like, acknowledging that, like, that you're going to, you know, it's going to hurt while it hurts, but it's not going to hurt forever. And while it hurts, just know that I'm here for you and I will allow you to feel those feelings.
Oh, you're going to make me cry. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm ready to be a daddy.
You're ready. Find a kid.
That's even, I feel like that's like something that is useful. Like, I feel like now even, like, just being like an adult for long enough to notice the things that like I experience in like some kind of cyclical way or like things that like felt really big the first time I experienced them. And then like, you know, after like, you know, like a disappointment or like a, you know, like a fear about something, like realizing like just that, not that this is not a valid thing to be feeling, but that it'll pass to just like be able to like be like, oh, 3 days will pass and this will not feel like a big deal. So just ride it out the same way, you know, you do like, you know, like a hard yoga pose when
just
they're
write
like,
it out. Just
remember
deep.
It'll be over.
It'll be over. And recognizing that your emotions are not you.
Right.
Like it can feel so, especially with the more intense emotions, it can feel very much like this is who I am. Like, this is me. And it's, someone put it a great way to me once, where it's like, you are still driving the car. That emotion is in the car with you, but they're not driving. You're driving.
Yeah.
So being able to be like, recognize that I'm feeling this, but it's not my identity.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's a huge help.
Yes.
Very well put.
Yeah.
Very well put.
That's
Thank you.
Not letting fear drive your car. I feel like that's like some. I read it in some book.
Yeah, totally.
Being like, you're in the car.
Fear is a passenger.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, you don't act like you're not afraid when you are afraid.
Yeah.
But be in control. Still drive the car to the destination that you're attempting to go to.
Yeah, like you act like you. Yeah, don't kick a passenger out of the car, but do not let them like touch the wheel or like fuck with your radio.
Yeah. Definitely don't let them turn the car around and drive you home. You got to go where you're going.
You gotta go.
I'm not sure if this my analogy is continuing to hold up, but you know, we're rolling with it.
Keep that in. Don't cut it out. It's important.
Don't
cut it out.
Cut everything around.
Yeah, cut the rest of it out.
Yeah.
Mary, do you want to play a game?
Yes.
Great. Okay. So one of like my biggest hypochondriac fears is like the idea that I think like that sometimes you'll get a headache and it could be a death knell. I feel like they're like all those hard, like I guess similar to like appendicitis, like you hear about someone who had like a terrible stomach ache and they went to the hospital and realized if they'd gone like a minute later
they so
died.
Scary.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So we're gonna play an edition of a game that we've played before on this podcast called Hospital or Notspital.
Yeah. Oh my god.
where I will give you a scenario.
This is
Madeline's
first
you'll
run.
Tell me how fun whether you would go to the hospital or not, and I'll tell you do you die or not. And
this how fun.
This
I
is the
it.
Hospital or Notspital. What a headache edition. It's all headaches.
This is great. Okay.
Okay. First scenario. Okay. You go to Hawaii and you're just enjoying 2 weeks of eating escargot on the beach.
Snails, interesting.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So you go to your room one night and you just have a really terrible headache. Your neck feels kind of stiff.
Okay.
You know, you've been swimming around. Who knows what it is?
Sure.
Are you going to go to like the urgent care on the Big Island?
My neck is stiff.
Yeah.
My head hurts.
Yeah.
I would say hospital probably.
Yeah, I'm going to do hospital.
You're going to go to the hospital?
Yeah, the mostly because of the snails. The snail part.
That's just traditional Hawaiian cuisine.
I don't know that that's accurate.
No, you're correct. You should go to the hospital.
Great.
We did it.
You have a condition called rat lungworm.
Whoa.
Oh, kill me.
Yes. Oh. A rat lungworm is a parasite that's in raw snails, sometimes it's in frogs and shrimp and things that could eat snails. And it's this new parasite that people going to Hawaii are sometimes getting.
Oh my God.
And it starts as a headache
then
can like just turn into like a whole horrible ordeal, like where it can turn into pneumonia. It can. It's rare. I should say it's rare.
Say the name again.
Rat lungworm.
Oh. Yeah, I want it to
disgusting.
Kill me.
Yeah.
I don't want to get better. I died.
Most cases have been in Hawaii, but there have been some cases in Florida also.
Yes. Yeah.
So thank goodness you went to the hospital.
Yeah. Goodness. Yeah, good.
That was a
good
call.
Yeah, hands off those snails. Okay. Your friend who loves CrossFit tricks you into doing one class, and you're just lifting a big old tire over your head. And after you just drop that tire to the ground, you throw up from exertion because it's a CrossFit class, and you get a headache.
Huh.
Are you going to go to the ER? Are you going to go?
I always feel like vomiting and headaches are never good signs.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks a lot, Eugene Cordero.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, it was Eugene.
Eugene told you to go. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well,
if
Eugene told me.
And he did a very good job training you, though.
Yeah.
I would say actually maybe Notspittle.
I'll also go with Notspittle.
You guys, that's correct.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Correct.
Thank you, Eugene.
Yeah, thank you, Eugene.
Tricky though. It was
tricky.
That is what is called an exertion headache, which is common and many people get it. Like usually after like lifting weights or something. Like that's just
I feel like I get that after I try any new workout. Like the first time I do it.
You get a little headache.
Yeah, just general ache. And, you know, if I get enough of an ache, maybe I'm going to vomit. Maybe that's my thing.
Okay, so you're sitting at home. You're reading your favorite graphic novel, The Sandman.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Good memory.
Thank
great.
You.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, a headache just kind of surprises you.
Yeah.
You're just surprised by a very severe headache.
It's severe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's severe and kind of like startles you.
Ooh.
You know, but it's nighttime. You're comfortable.
Yeah, that would
Is
be
that,
tough.
Like, what's...
I do... Ooh, I would have a hard time doing this myself, but I think if it was, if it like came out of nowhere and was severe, I would go to the hospital, I think.
What do you think, Ben?
I mean, the nighttime part is what threw me. Like, I feel like I would try to sleep it off.
Yeah.
But, so I guess I'll go with Knotspital for this one.
Okay.
We're going hospital
and Knotspital. We have a split. Yeah. Well, I hate to tell you, R.I.P. Ben. Mary, you have to handle all of his funeral arrangements.
Oh my! Wait, why me?
I mean, you survived.
Well, wait a minute. What's our relationship in this scenario?
Our podcast.
I'm a little upset.
It's the exact same as it's in this world.
Well, I don't deserve a proper burial, Mary.
No,
come on.
Wait, you guys. This is. It feels like a lot of expectation.
The Ben's life insurance policy will go to you.
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
You have a lot. You have to go back to Detroit. Yeah. Figure out how his family wants him to be buried.
Mm-hmm. I think you get like $100,000.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah.
That's based on...
on your life insurance?
No, I don't have
policy.
Thank you,
Aflac.
If I die and you call the State Farm and say you're Ben, you could get $100,000.
That all I have to do is call State Farm and say I'm Ben?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ben. Can I get
checks in the mail, baby?
All right.
So, Ben, what you were killed of was called a thunderclap headache.
Oh, nice.
And
sounds
that
so scary.
Is from an aneurysm. They call it a thunderclap headache because it startles you with the
fierceness
of a thunderclap or a bolt of lightning. And they're called warning headaches. So they're also sometimes called sentinel headaches. But they occur. Oh, they only occur in 10 to 43% of people with aneurysms. So you might have an aneurysm and not even get a thunderclap headache.
Oh, my God. How scary.
But the big thing is they come out of the blue. So if you have a headache out of the blue, you know, just...
Might as well just go check it out.
Just check it out.
It was just too late for me. I felt like...
You're just ready to go to bed.
Yeah, I was ready to wind down. I was reading my favorite graphic novel, The Sandman.
Some people do... also get them and they're not bad. So like because you get one, it doesn't necessarily mean you've had an aneurysm. Like
right.
Some people also just have thunderclap headaches.
Just know that I'm in the 10 to 43% that died.
Yeah. Okay. Guys, you just had a bunch of sex.
Nice.
Not you to get with anybody of your choosing.
Great.
And you're going to a nice dinner afterwards. You were planning to have sex after you went to dinner, but you just had a bunch of sex before and you have a horrible headache.
Yeah.
All throughout dinner.
Okay.
It's severely limiting your ability to enjoy your surf and turf.
Ooh.
You're on vacation.
In Hawaii, enjoying some escargot.
In Hawaii, this is the alternate universe when you go to Hawaii, but you don't need any escargot.
Oh,
so
okay,
you don't have
okay.
rat. This is not rat lungworm again.
It would be so funny
if there was two rat lungworms.
Probably not spittle. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my feeling.
I'm going to go Knotspital. The headache is the result of losing all of those precious fluids to the person I had sex with of my choosing.
Precious fluids. Kill me.
That's disgusting. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
My bodilies are in my... Okay.
You guys are correct.
Oh, great.
Is it because of the precious fluids?
It's not specifically because of the precious fluids, but it's because there's like some people get coital headaches.
Oh.
Where it's like, and so not everybody. So you might maybe go to the doctor later, I guess, to see if there's a way to handle your coital headaches. But like, there are people who get headaches that last between 30 minutes to several hours after orgasm, and it's like enough that those people would like
don't want to have orgasms.
Wow.
Bless them.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Isn't that terrible? But you're not going to die.
Okay,
well,
good.
So, you know, you just got to tell that person this too shall pass.
Yeah, this too shall pass.
Let me get those precious fluids.
Yeah. Give me those precious
Give me
fluids.
Those precious fluids. Okay, last but not least, you work at H&R Block. It's a very busy time. It's tax time.
Sure.
And so you're about to go to work on the 15th. You wake up with a headache. And it doesn't go away. You eat your breakfast. You vomit. and you feel a little better after vomiting.
Okay.
And then you know, go to work and you see all your clients. You get some people money. Some people have to pay money. Your clients do a variety
of the
jobs.
Draw.
It's really
luck of
the draw. After work, are you going to go to the hospital or are you going to go home and take a bath?
I threw up.
You woke up with a headache. You threw up. It got a little better after you threw up.
I feel like I would go to the... I mean, did I drink the night before?
No.
Great. I think I would go to the hospital. I just feel like vomit and throw up is bad.
Yeah, I'll go to the hospital too.
Vomit
and throw up. Okay, you're correct.
Oh, phew.
Do you know why?
No.
Do you want to guess?
Anthrax.
No, you have a brain tumor.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Isn't that horrible?
Yeah.
A lot of like a symptom of a brain tumor. Like you want to be careful if you ever wake up with a headache and vomiting makes it a little better.
That's okay.
Like because
that's
there's like, it's like a pressure
right.
situation. It's like,
yeah.
Unless you've been drinking.
Unless you've been drinking.
But if you haven't been drinking.
You know.
You're either hungover or you have a brain tumor.
Or you have a brain tumor.
Jesus.
Mary, guys, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
Plug anything before?
Go check out CISO. I'm on a show. I'm on the UCB show on there, but then also the show called Shrink, which pertains to some of the things we were talking about today. Yeah. So go check that out, and then check out this most recent season of Veep.
Nice.
They'll be popping up there.
Great.
Cool.
Thank you so much, Mary.
Thank you, guys.
Amazing.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Definitely Dying. And until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.